Mishnah 9 Gimel, this is what two malachas are tofer v'ha korea al menos mitzvah. So the Mishnah says that the person is korea alone. He's potter because he's mekalkal. But if he's korea al menos l'stakein, korea al menos mitzvah, then the Mishnah 9 Gimel says that yechayim, that's repeated. The Gemara points out that there's a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Braisa says that Kareb Hamasa Be'evla Be'al Meisoy is Chayim, even though you know, it's not Amanas Litvar. And then the Braisa continues to point out Rav Hapish Mechalas HaShabbos Yotzi Yidvar, even though he violated Chil Shabbos, and he's chayiv. Nonetheless, he's yetzer the mitzvah. The Yushami raises the question here: why not consider this a mitzvah of Avera? If the person violated Chil Shabbos in order to fulfill the mitzvah kriya, so why don't we have a cloud of mitzvah of Avera? The person is not yetzer the mitzvah, has to repeat the mitzvah again. So the Yushami answers that if a person steals a matzah, and he eats it, he's not yetzer. But if he carries the matzah in the street and pays up shechalias b'shabbos, and he carries it to the location where he's going to have a seder, that's not mitzvah b'avaderas. Why is there a difference? Yushalmi says because by the matzah gzula, like by the lulav hagozel, the mishnah sukkah, tamon he gufo avera. There, the chepta of the matzah, the chepta of the lulav, is called the chepta shel avera. Why? The person violated an avera, which caused us to label the matzah or the lulav with a negative connotation. The kind of requires a kinyan zeila, and that's why we label the matzah as a matzah gzula, or we label the lulav as a lulav agozel. But over here, the person carried the matzah in the street to the location where he plans to have a seder, and the person ripped the feged. Taman, here it's not Kufa Avera, here the person did an Avera, but it didn't cause the object that he's using for the mitzvah to be labeled as a Chefta Shal Avera. So this Yerushalmi is quoted by Rabbi Yosef Engel to demonstrate what the definition of mitzvah Bab Avera is. There is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the fourth parak. Beginning of the third parak, where the Mishnah says that there's a machlekes Rabbi Yosi Nachachamim, where the shefer shel para is kosher or not. Why should the shefer shel para not be good? So Igmar gives different explanations. So one explanation Igmar gives is because that the whole story has to do with Egel Azov. An Egel is a calf that's born from a cow. So the para is the mother of the Egel. Either the Egel Azov wasn't real, it was gold, Akash. And this parah that I'm Akash. So the Gemara says, all parahs in the world, and all, we're going to get to the answer. Every parah in the world and every egel in the world is called a chepta shel avera because of the story of the egel azahov. And that's called a kategra nasa sanek. Kategra means a chepta shel avera, cannot be used to serve as a chepta shel mitzvah. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? But you bring korbanas from egel, from parah. He used egel and parah for all kinds of mitzvahs. And Moses says, no, this din that it's called a chefta shel avera only applies in the Kodesh HaKadosh. So the Moses says, no, so what has it got to do with Tkiyah Shefer? Tkiyah Shefer is in New York. It's nowhere near the Beis HaMikdash. Moses says, Kedem Nivizikoran Ka'asi, since the purpose of Tkiyah Shefer is Nivizikoran, it's considered as if you're mamish in the Kodesh HaKadosh. And that's why in the Kodesh HaKadosh, when the Kohen Gadol goes already once a year into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's not allowed to wear the big day zohar. Why? Because all gold in the world is labeled as a kateger. It's a chepta shel avera because of the egel azor. The same story. All forests and all agolim in the world and all gold in the world is labeled as a chepta shel avera. It may not be used to serve as a chepta shel mitzvah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, lefnai v'lefnim. And Kiyo Shefer is also considered lefnai v'lefnim. So the Yitvor has a Gemara in the beginning of Lulav HaGozel, which seems to say that even if it's not Lefnai V'Lefnim, even if it's outside, we also have such a din of Eikatega Nasi Saneger, but we usually call it by a different name. We call it by the name Mitzvah Bab Aver. Mitzvah Bab Aver doesn't mean that an avera enabled me to fulfill a mitzvah. Now that's over here, the avera enabled me to fulfill a mitzvah. He ripped the beged on Shabbos, which was an act of chilul Shabbos, according to the Breisner. Mishnah says it's not chilul Shabbos deraisa, the Breisner says that it is. And nonetheless, it says afa pichein yotzi dekriya, afpi shemchalas haShabbos yotzi dekriya. So the definition of mitzvah of avera is not that the avera enabled me to fulfill a mitzvah, but rather if somebody did an avera and the avera caused us to label an object, he did an avera with or to a certain object, because of that avera, that object is now labeled as a cheftish avera. Some halachic change occurs, like a ganav who steals metaltalim acquires kinyanik zela on the metaltalim. So that cheft is now labeled as a cheftish avera, so that cannot be used to serve as a cheftish mitzvah later. So this is been all over the world, not only with Naiva listening. But Naiva listening were machmir, that even we say all gold in the world, even though it's not the gold for Nagel Azov, we say all gold in the world is called a cheftish avera. We say every pora and every egel in the world, even though the egel Azov wasn't a real egel, the whole thing was a fake. And even though this gold that the clay bottle is using in the big dissolve is not at all the gold from the Egel Azor, it doesn't make a difference. So the Tnai Belefnin, we're more sensitive about it. So we say anything that's labeled as a Chefta Shalavera in that sense, anything that's gold, anything for Egel, is labeled as a Chefta Shalavera. And outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's only if it actually was Bepoel Mamish labeled as a Chefta Shalavera. Where does the Ritzvah say this? There is a Gemara there in the beginning of Lulav HaGozer where the Gemara says, what if my next door neighbor made a sukkah and I kick him out of his sukkah? So is that labeled, and I sit in that sukkah and I want to be out of the mitzvah, is that called the sukkah gzula, or is it not called the sukkah gzula? Sukkah gzula should be a mitzvah baba avera, you should say that you're not yotzei. So the Gemara says it depends on the machlekes hatanoim that appears in Mishnah from the end of Bava Kama, machlekes ablez on the hachamim, but the karka nigzelas, the karka eden nigzelas. If karka nigzelas, then it's called the sukkah gzula. If karka eden nigzelas, then it's a sukkah shula. No, it's not shalachem. If you only need shalachem, one tana holds Reb Leizer happens to only need shalachem. He holds that a sukkah shula is no good. That's what Tosfos says. In sukkah, they don't understand. If you need shalachem, so how can a family sit together in the same sukkah? If the sukkah belongs to the husband, so the wife and the children are not yetzim. If the sukkah belongs to the wife, so the husband and the children are not yetzim. If it belongs to one of the children, so the parents are not yetzim. How can it be? What every zayin al zayin tvach maschach belongs to that person who wants to sit under that? Far-fetched. By lulav and an esrig, if you want the whole family to be yetzim with the same lulav and esrig, whoever bought it and owns it has to give it as a matanam and aslachzit to one person. That person gives it a matanam and aslachzit to the next person. And the first 2 days of sukkah is in each olachem. So you have to be makna the talamim, each person to the next person. But on a sukkah, we never heard of such a thing. So that's Taisus Kasha. How can one imagine such a shita in the world, bichlal, that by sukkah in each olachem? There is such a tana. Okay. We don't accept that. If we pass on a sukkah shul is good, you don't need olachem. So the Gemara says, if I chase someone out of his sukkah, and I sit in that sukkah, is that labeled as a sukkah gzula, in which case it will constitute a mitzvah baba avera? But they say, no, it's a sukkah shula. So the Gemara says, it depends whether karka nigzelus or karka eden nigzelus. What does that mean? If you hold, so Tosfos asks, what do you mean if you hold karka eden nigzelus, there's no avera? There's no avera to move over the border and to steal someone else's property? Of course it's an avera. It's an avera deraisa. Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Sifrei, the Rambam and Mishnah Torah quotes the same Sifrei, that the pasuk in Bormat says, "Losas gvur yacha, benachaloscha shetilcha." You're not allowed to move over the fence in order to steal someone else's karka. Benachaloscha shetilcha, long in Eretz Yisrael, that whoever moves over the fence and steals karka in Eretz Yisrael, zayvan tulav, zayvan loisigzol. And if you steal karka and chutz l'aretz, you're only oifan l'sigzol, you're not oifan l'sasnik, because l'sasnik v'v'yachol is b'nachaloscha shatimcha, only in Eretz Yisrael proper. But there certainly is l'sigzol. So how does the Gemara say that it's not a mitzvah b'bavir? Of course it's a mitzvah b'bavir. So Tosfos says that kasha. So Tosfos in Ezel Neshech, in the first half in Ezel Neshech, seem to assume that if you all karka even exalus, there's no avir against the sifre. It's the hapela. So the Ritvor, Masech HaSukkah, Perek Ulava Gozol, says no, and he gives this explanation. He says it's only considered a mitzvah babaver. Mitzvah babaver doesn't mean the aver enabled me to fulfill a mitzvah. Mitzvah babaver means I did an aver, which caused an object to be labeled as a chepta shel aver. So metaltalim, where the ganef acquires a kidney gzeil on it, so that's labeled as a matzah tzula, that's labeled as a lulav akosel. But if you steal karka, if you hold karka eden gzeilus, then we be paskin. The machlekes hatanayim, where the karka gzeilus, karka eden gzeilus, is not a machlekes, whether one is in violation of listikza. Of course he's in violation of listikza. Machlekes is whether the gazlan acquires kinyon gzeil, my nafkinina, can he kind of be shinui, can he be kind of be yush. Only kind of be yush, only kind of be shinui, if the gazlan has a kinyon gzeil on it, if karka eden gzeilus, and shinui is not kind of. That's the context where the Mishnah quotes it. In the end of Bava Kama, a person stole an eved. And the Mishnah has Gozlav on his kinu. I stole an eved when the eved was 5 years old. Then I kept the eved for 60 years. Now he's 65 years old. And it's a shinui. It doesn't look like the same person he looked like 60 years ago. So the shayla is, am I kind of the shinui or not? It's a shinui de memela. The Gozlav didn't make him grow old, he grew old on his own. So the Mishnah says, "Goz l'avodim his kinos and achleikas hakanaim." Whether avodim hukshu v'karkos, avodim lo hukshu v'karkos. If you avodim have a din like karka, karka in exelus, there's no king exelus, and maybe you're not kind of machine. But everybody holds that you're right on lo sigzol. So that's what the Ritzvot points out on that Gemara and the Yom Gozel. It's only considered a mitzvah of avera. If the Heftz is labeled as a Heftz Shaveh, it's basically the same din as Ein Kategen Asasanegra. In fact, on the Mishnah Lulav HaGozel, where the Bavli calls it Mitzvah Bob Avera, Lulav HaGozel, we're not yet to take Mitzvah Bob Avera. So the Malchamas on that Mishnah quotes the Yerushalmi, he calls that din Ein Kategen Asasanegra. In the Bavli, we use that expression Ein Kategen Asasanegra in the Gemara in the beginning of the third parak in Rosh Hashanah. That's by Shofar Shel Parah. It's also, it's the same din of Ein Kategen Asanegra, but the Bavli only uses that expression when you're talking with Nigelus Nim and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're talking about Kiyo Shofar, and you're talking about a case where this object wasn't even involved in any Aver at all. Just that all gold in the world is labeled as a Heftz Shel Aver, and all Ego and all Parah in the world is labeled as a Heftz Shel Aver. So the Yerushalmi uses the same lotion on Mitzvah Bar Aver. So that's the Yerushalmi here that the Rashba quotes on our Gemara. Hakama hopi shemchalas hashavs yotzi dekriya. Why don't you call it Mitzvah Bar Aver? So the answer is that it's not a Heftz Shel Aver. He did an Aver by whipping Kriya on Shabbos. But the object of the Kera is not labeled as a Heftz Shel Aver. Either is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that seems to contradict this. My Rosh Hashanah says that there is only Mehila. The Korbanos are divided into two categories. Kachim Mizbeach are divided into Kachim Kadoshim and Kachim Kalachatos and an Ola. And an Oshim are Kachim Kadoshim and a Minchos Kachim Kadoshim. And a Shlomim and a Korban Pesach and a Bechor and a Maisa Beim, that's Kachim Kalach. So there are a lot of differences between Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim. One of the differences is whether there's a din of Me'ila. What if a person is Nenem in a Hegdish B'Shegev? So there is a din Nefesh Kisimam Ma, the Chata B'Shkov and the Kachim Hashem. So the Mishnah in Me'ila understands that the expression, the verb, the terminology, Simam Ma, Ein Me'ila Elishini Rishus, means that once you moil the Hegdish B'Shegev, the Hegdish is Yotze L'chulim. It no longer belongs to Hegdish. And after the first time that your mother had this b'shegig mikana labo, you're permitted to use it because it's yours. You have a right to keep it now. There's no longer, the Mishnah says, ein ma'ala ha'mal b'magdosh. Once you were ma'al on the thing, it's yotze l'chulim, and it's impossible to be ma'al a second time. It's had the garment to be then and now because of the fact that it's yotze l'chulim. So the Mishnah explains, based on Psukim, that this din only applies to kachi kadoshim and doesn't apply to kachim kala. Because the pasuk says, nefesh b'simam ma'al, b'chot b'shkog mikachi Hashem. Kachi Hashem has the connotation of kachim ha'miyuchadim Hashem, and that's only the kachi kadoshim, the higher level. The chatos, the oshim, the olo, and the mincha. There's no mehila by kachim kala. So the Gemara has a discussion in Maseches Rosh Hashanah at the end of the third parak. What if a person, by mistake, is tokeh b'shoifer shel carbon? He has a carbon, somebody brought a carbon, and you have the shoifer, and he's not supposed to use it, it's an isa me'ila. And he goes, and he didn't know, he didn't realize that he's in violation of me'ila. So the Gemara says, he's tokeh b'shoifer shel oila, since an oila is a kachi kadoshim, so the first tkiah that he does causes the shoifer to be yotze l'chulim. And once he's yotze l'chulim, he keeps on blowing after that, so he's took care of the shayfish on kulin. So he's yaitze, no problem. But he must start off by saying, what if he's took care of the shayfish on shlamim? Since shlamim is a kachim kalim, and kachim kalim is not yaitze l'chulin aydei me'ila, so therefore, took care of the shayfish on shlamim, lo yaitze dechavas, he's not yaitze. Why is he not yaitze? Because as he keeps on blowing, he's in violation of the isa me'ila, and it's a mitzvah b'babev. What kind of isa me'ila? We just said there is no me'ila on kachim kalim. He just said there is no me'ilah on kachim kalim. So the answer is no. The Mishnah says in me'ilah that by all kachim kalim loynanim v'loy moylin, it's forbidden to get hanor for the kachim kalim. If you got hanor, the penalty of me'ilah doesn't apply. You don't have to take care of the chomish. You don't have to bring Hashem me'ilahs, and it's not yotze l'chul. All of the penalties of me'ilah don't apply, but the iser of me'ilah does apply. That's the Mishnah loynanim v'loy moylin. There is a famous machlokes of Rishonim whether that din of loynanim and kachim kalim, is that an isa deraisa or an isa derabbanan? So here for the Rishonim hold that it's an isa deraisa, and they say from this Gemara is a riot. It would have only been an isa derabbanan. How can you say because he violated an isa derabbanan, it's a mitzvah b'baver, he's not yetzir a mitzvah shofar? Mitzvah b'baver has to be an avera deraisa. And an avera derabbanan, you don't call it mitzvah b'baver. Since the Gemara starts off in the Sugi and Rosh Hashanah is saying, Atekeh b'shofar shal shlomim, no yotza, more backs out to the whole thing at the end for a different reason. Because mitzvah love the honest mitzvah. The first thing must start off that hatikeh shefel shel shlamim lo yotza because it's mitzvah bo ba'aveir. So it must be that loynanim by kachim kalim must constitute an isa deraisa. If it would have been only an isa derabbanan, it's not shaykh to say that it's a mitzvah bo ba'aveir that you're not yotza mitzvah shayf. And the other 50% mamish, a big split in the Rishonim. The other half of the Rishonim say no. That loynanim by kachim kalim is only midirabban. It says there's no me'ila. I mean, our Torah is mamish mutter. It's mutter to get hanor. The holy son loynanim is only midirabban. And from this gemara is a raya that we pass on mitzvah b'maver, even if the aver is only an aver of the rabban. Min akotzer la akotzer. The Rishonim have a machlokes. Rav Soloveitchik said in Emir Achayim, his lashon was that it's inconceivable to think that the loynanim is only midirabban. It's impossible. Of course, it's an isa derais. But it's Mefurish and the Rishonim. Okay, he's also a Mishnah. But in the Rishonim is Mefurish, black and white, 50-50. Mamish has split all the way down. The Rashba quotes the two Shitas. All the Rishonim talk about this Machloit. Inconceivable height, inconceivable model. The Rishonim had a Machloit. So why did Mitzvah Bob Aveir over there? What are you going to say? The Cheftah is a Cheftah Shal there. Cheftah is a Cheftah Shal carbon. Well, why did the Shefer Shal Shlomim all of a sudden become a Cheftah Shal there? When someone is moiled by Hegdusha, you relabel the object. You don't relabel it. The answer is it's a mitzvah b'aver, because it's only because he violated the aver of Leinanim that he got to fulfill the mitzvah. So you see that it does. There is such a din of mitzvah b'aver. It's not like the Yerushalmi says here, and not like the Mitzvah showed the Bavli in the beginning of Lulav HaGozov, that it's only if the Cheftah is a Cheftah shel aver. So how do we get around that Gemara? What do you do with that Gemara? So the Achroidim explain on that Gemara. That Gemara is a different story. Why do you say that he's in violation of an Aveira? When you blow Shofar Shel Shlomim, you say he's in violation of the Din, either the Aveira Deraisa, the Aveira Derabbanan, of Kachim Kalim Leinenim. Why is he in violation of Din Nenem? Because he's Yotze the Mitzvah. If he just tickles the Shofar, he's not in violation of anything. So why is it if he blows shofar, why is he over on anything? It's like tickling the shofar. The answer is because he wants to be yotze the mitzvah. Also, that's what the Gemara says. Why say that you're yotze the mitzvah of shofar? And thereby, we pop you over the head and we say, mechabedi with an aveira of me'ila. Say it's a mitzvah of aveira. Say it's not, you're not yotze the mitzvah and there's no aveira of shofar. So he has a clean slate. That's a special case. Over here, even if you're going to say that he's not yotze the kriya, what are you going to say? He's not Mechal Shabzah. It may turn out that it'll be Mechalka. Okay. If he's not Yetzi, the Kriya. But over here, Sof Kosof, the Kriya is there. He did the Kriya. He did the Malach of Kriya. The Gemara says that it's only Mesakein if he's Yetzi the Mitzvah. He's not Yetzi the Mitzvah. He's not Mesakein. But you have a Kash on this Gemara also. Why not say that he's not Yetzi? Say it, we'll call it Mitzvah Babaver in that sense. It's only an Avera because of the fact that he's Mekayim the Mitzvah. If he's not Mekayim the Mitzvah, there wouldn't be any Avera. So let's say he's not Yotze the Mitzvah, because the Gemara says, Hobbe Mezdi Day, Hobbe Mezdi Alma. If it's Mezdi Day, then he's Yotze the Mitzvah, then it's Mesakeh. If it's Mezdi Alma, so it's not Mesakeh. So that's a good kasha, why not say it? But on that Gemara, it's a different reason why it's labeled as a mitzvah of Avera. Namely, the Avera is based on the mitzvah. It's an Avera, it's not a mitzvah haboah, Avera. It's an Avera haboah mikoyach mitzvah. So rather than say you're yotze the mitzvah and you're in violation of the Avera, so say you're not yotze the mitzvah, there's no Avera. So that's what the Gemara meant to say there. But that's basically a side point over here. That's a famous side point here. That Yerushalmi comments on this price. Same price is quoted, same Tosefta is quoted in Yerushalmi. And Yerushalmi poses the question, let it be mitzvah b'aver. So they give that answer. Mitzvah b'aver is only if it's a chefetz shel aver. But the major problem over here is the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the price. The Mishnah says, Hakareh b'chamos b'al meisoi p'turim. He's asked to be kareh al menasit. The price says, Hakareh b'chamos b'al meisoi is kaya. So the Gemara first answers, Moi kasha, hobi meis di day, hobi meis di yalma, half of the kasha. There's a stira meisa meisa, and there's a stira hamasa hamasa. So hamasa hamasa we'll get to, and meisa we have hamasa. Hobi meis di day, hobi meis di yalma. If you hear to the mitzvah of kriya, by the right way, from that you will have to read kriya, then you hear to the mitzvah, so that constitutes an act of misake. But if it's a meis di yalma, then it's, you're not yet to any mitzvah, so then it's called mekalka. Umar asked the kasha, how can you say that? But it says, Hakareya al meso. The Mishnah says, Hakareya al meso. So it is meis di day. How can you say it's meis di yalma? Umar says, no, it's meis di day. It's mutalon of makabre, Rashi says. Al meso, meso di day, could mean one of two things. Hakareya al meso, it's my meis that I'm mechuyev to rip kriya. It's one of the zayin kriyim. Akareya meisa, that it's mutav alayla kavra. It's possible that it's mutav alayla kavra. He's not one of his ankrad. How is that possible? What, I'm chayiv to bury my 10th cousin? I don't even know who he is. So, how is it mutav alayla kavra? The answer is, if everybody in between is dead, and I'm the closest relative, and I get the Yerusha, so whoever gets the Yerusha is mutav all of the kavra. The Yerusha are only entitled to get the money. The Yerusha, after the amount of money that's needed for the Kvura is set aside, you have no right to Yarshan that amount. So that's what Rashi explains. It's a mazdi day that's mutalolov lekavroi. I'm the 10th cousin and everybody in between is not alive, so I'm going to get the Yerusha. So it's mutalolai lekavroi, but it's not from the Zayin Kreizim. The Chi of Avelis and the Chi of Kriya is only on the Zayin Kreizim. Rashi explains, where do you get this concept of the Zayin Kreivim? By the Kohanim in Parsha Samor. It says the Kohen is not permitted to be Mitame Lameisim except for the Zayin Kreivim. So that Pasuk is the basis of the Din of Avelus. According to the Rambam and the Gaonim and the Pesach HaMechaber, that's a Din Deraisa. That's what the Pasuk means on the level of Deraisa, that there is Avelus, at least Avelus and Rishon is Deraisa, and included in the mitzvah of Lo Yitama. Lo Yitama requires not only to be mitami to the Zayin Kreivim, we pass Lo Yitama Zachayva, to demonstrate Kavod Abriya. So Lo Yitama doesn't only imply that you have to be mitami to the Kreivim, but being mitami to the Zayin Kreivim is a form of Nihug Avelus, and it carries with it the whole rest of the story of Nihug Avelus. Not for Yud Beis Chodesh, not for the Shloshim, not for the Shiva. Okay, Avelus Yom Rishon is Deraisa. And the other Rishonim hold, Ramot Paskas like the other Rishonim like the Balei HaTosfos, that all Avelus is only the Rabbanon, even Avelus Yom Rishon is only the Rabbanon, but it's called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Deraisa Tikkun. There is an Avelus that's Deraisa, namely the being the Tami to the Mace, that is Deraisa, that everybody agrees. So that's why the Chachamim introduced Kriya, ripping Kriya is only the Rabbanon. That's not a Chiyav Min HaTorah. That's why we assume that whenever there's a suffix, the Pischichub and Yeridah writes, whenever there's a suffix regarding ripping Kriya, so we go the Kula and you say you don't have to rip Kriya, so they give two reasons. Why? One reason, why? Because it's only suffix the Rabbanah Lakula. The other reason is that it's a suffix Bal Tashchis. If you're going to rip Kriya unnecessarily, so then you'll be in violation of Bal Tashchis. You can ding the hand that. Is it really a Sufik Bal Tashchis if the guy wants to do it? It says in Shulchan Aruch, based on Mishnayis and the Moed Katan, in Eilam Megachan, that if a close friend dies and the person wants to rip Kriya, so there's a Kiyum. It's not Stam Awaid. There's no Kiyum to rip Kriya unless you want to Zayin Kreivim, but there is a Kiyum. So why should one assume that it's going to be a violation of Bal Tashchis? Whenever you destroy something, the Tzorach B'nei Odom, we assume that there is no Bal Tashchis. That's a taina against the Tischi Tshuva. But the first argument that he gave is certainly correct. The whole din of Kriya is only with the Rabbanus, and whenever there's a Sufik Kriya, so we say Sufik Rabbanu Lekul. Second argument is a little weak. They say that it's a Sufik Bal Tashkis. It's not such a strong argument. Again, first the Gemara says, Mesa Mesa Loikasha, if it's one of the Zayin Kroivim, then it's, since you're ripping and you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah, so therefore that's called Misake. But if it's not one of the Zayin Kroivim, then it's not called Misake. It's also Kasha. But if we say the Ramon Yoridei quotes from the Rosh, if there's a Kiyom of Kriya, there's no Chiyuv Kriya unless you're one of the Zayin Kroivim. But there is a Kiyom of Kriya, if a dear friend dies and you want to express your pain over the loss of a dear friend, so you're a Kriya, there's a Kiyom. And it seems in the halacha that it's not about tashchis. So why should it not be a korea al mesai who's not from the Zayin Kroivim? Why should not also be called misake? If there's a kiyum mitzvah, I'm saying that's also called misake. That's a question. We'll see in a minute. So here, Tosis is bothered with another kashya. What did the Gemara answer here? If it's mesdi day, then since you're a fulfillment of a mitzvah, so that's called Misakin. If it's a Mezdi Alma, it's not a Mezdi Day, not until fulfillment of any mitzvah, then it's called Mekalkal. So Tosfos says the Kasha, and if it's Mezdi Day, then it's called Misakin because of the mitzvah. But the Gemara says on Kuvav and Aleph that is a Machlekes Satanoim between Rav Shimon and Rav Yudah. If you do something that's a Kilkul, you murder somebody, or I cause someone to bleed, I bludgeon somebody else. But the Goyim always complained against the Jews. For years they were complaining why we perform circumcision. Now they finally decided that it's a healthy thing, and a lot of Goyim are also performing circumcision. But for centuries they were making fun of the Jews and saying that we are barbaric, that we perform circumcision. Mamish, but we bludgeon the baby, we cut him up, we mekalkal him. So that's a machloikis satanoim. That constitutes a malacha on Shabbos, causing bleeding as a malacha of some sort. We assume. We had the three different shittas. Rashi says that the beginning of Shmona Shvatzim, Rashi says that the melacha is tzoveya. That was problematic. Tzoveya is when you have a black and blue mark. But if there's no black and blue mark, it just causes dam to leave the body. Why is that tzoveya? You're going to wash off the blood from the body later. So that's what prompted Tosfos to disagree with Rashi and say that it's not because of the black and blue mark. The black and blue mark is eight svicha legufa. No one's interested in that bechlau. How can that be the melacha deraisa? Tosfos says, and that's what the Yerushalmi says, like Tosfos, Yerushalmi in Perik Klal Gadol, says like Tosfos that Chovel is a tolda of Shochet, tolda of Netilas Neshama, because Malikot Lekula, Malikot Lepalga. The black and blue mark is also dead blood, or if the blood goes out of the body, that's Avada. And the Rambam's opinion is that Chovel, if he causes an animal to bleed on Shabbos, the melacha involved is Disha. Just like if you squeeze out juice from Zeis Vanov and the Disha, so it's over here, you're causing bleeding from the body, that's a violation of Disha. Okay, whatever the melacha is, there's some kind of a melacha. But it's Mekalkel. If you cause a little baby, you bludgeon a baby, so it's Mekalkel. So there's a machlokes, and we know that it's a melacha. We know that you're only permitted to be Mechal Shabbos for a milah bizmano. If the milah shalai bizmano, a selfic milah shalai bizmano, you're not permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. So why does it constitute a melacha on the level of the Raisa? Why don't you say that it's mekalkal and it's muta min haTorah? The Holy says only midera bala. So how can you have psukim that tell you that you're not permitted min haTorah? It's also midera Raisa to perform a milah shalai bizmano on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If the whole thing is mekalkal. So the Tanoim had a machlokes, Rav Shimon and Rav Yudah. So Rav Yudah says, Hosam Misaken Hu. He says, since you're fulfilling a mitzvah, that's called Misaken, that's not Mekalkal. And Rav Shimon disagrees and says, no. Tikkun has to be in common sense terms. You have to ask a goy, did I do a tikkun? The goy says, no. What they cut up the baby for? It's a religious ritual. So the goy will make fun of that. That doesn't constitute Misaken. Why is it? Why does, according to Rav Shimon, so why is it a malacha to do bris milah on Shabbos? The whole malacha is because of the bleeding. Let it be mekalkal. So the answer is, from here is a raya that mekalkal bechavole is chayiv on Shabbos. Despite the fact that it's mekalkal, it's still chayiv. That's Reb Shimon. Reb Yudah says, no, since you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah, it's called misaken. And the same argument is by Mrs. Bezna. We take someone and we kill him. We murder somebody. So you killed a human being, it's mamish mekalkal. Why don't you let him live? The answer is it's a mitzvah. So is that called when you murder somebody and then you violate the tilis neshama? How do you know you're not allowed to kill on Shabbos? Maybe it's mutter to kill people on Shabbos. Kill people is like sin. Okay, let's say kill animals. How do you know you're not allowed to kill animals on Shabbos? Because there's a pasuk that says leisavareish b'chomash v'seichem b'yoyim on Shabbos, and it goes on Mises Bezin, and Mises Bezin constitutes a malach. That's what it seems from the Gemara. This Gemara is in contradiction to the Rambam. Rambam pasuk is based on a mechilta de Rashbi against the Gemara. Pasha Peshat in Gemara is that the reason why you're not permitted to administer Mises Bezin on Shabbos is because to kill people on Shabbos is a malach of Netilas Hashem. The Rambam had a whole different shot, but the Rambam counts it in the Minyan HaMitzvah as two lav and one lav. Got a whole habanin of why one could have argued out the case and thought that it's permissible to administer Mises Bezin on Shabbos. Because if A is greater than B, B is greater than C, A is greater than C. So we know that Mises Bezin is such a great mitzvah, it's doich ha'akrobos kol ha'karbonos kulam. It says if someone is a murderer, mi mizbuchi tekechen olomus, even if he's the only koyim, but can be makar karbonos. We know that ha'akrobos karbonos tzibur, karbonos shezmanam kavua, is the Cheshabbos. So since Mises Bezin is greater, is doicha hakavas kol hakavonis, that shows A is greater than B. And kavonis tzi, which is manam kavua, is the Cheshabbos, if B is greater than C. So A should be greater than C. That's a kavachema, yesh bechalam masayim mana. That A is greater than C, so it should come out that Mises Bezin should be doicha Cheshabbos. So the Pasuk is needed to tell me, lasil ha'reish, that Mises Bezin is not doicha Cheshabbos. The Pasuk tells me that it's vaytor malacha. So after you have the pasuk, so all it teaches you is that there's no hetter, there's no kal v'chaimer, and it falls under the category of las ha'asakol malacha. So why does the Rambam count it as tulam? So that's the Mogen Avram's kash on the Rambam. So the Amineza and all of the Akhrenim all say the same answer, that the Rambam based himself on a mechilta de Rashbi against the Gemara, which we don't have. We don't have this ksavya. But Mendel kash is a chal v'chaimer reconstructed in a mechilta de Rashbi based on quotations from the Rambam, from other Rishonim, he patched together parts of the Chilta Rashi, but we don't have the whole thing. So the Rambam understands that this is a separate lav shalom ha'anish b'Shabbos, and it's a possibility that even to put somebody in Chayram on Shabbos, but there's no malach at all, would also be an Isra of Lo Sivarech b'chol no shesechem b'yom ha'Shabbos. So how does the Gemara see that the Sreifas Baskain, how does the Gemara know that the Sreifas Baskain is a malacha? Maybe it's an issue because Shadol Ha'anish B'Shabbos. So the Rambam is against the Gemara. Rambam often does that. He passes like some other outside source. Here he passes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he tells you. He's passing it based on the Mechilta de Rashbi, which is basically against this Gemara, and against Kama V'Kama Gemara, so the Gemara. So I call point, how does the Gemara assume that this Pasuk, the Sevarish, is telling me that the minister, he says, Bezin on Shabbos, constitutes a malacha. Which malacha? Metilas neshama sheche. You're killing somebody. It's a hakasha. You murder somebody. It's a mekalkel. You kill a human being. Let it always be mekalkel. So why does that constitute? It should be an isur of loisiritza. But why does it constitute a violation of chilul Shabbos? One halacha says that you're allowed to kill a person, that there's no loisiritza, because the paskayin shezin, so whatever the case happens to be, whatever avera the person violated, so there's no loisiritza. So the Gemara asks, why is the chilul Shabbos on the level of their eyes? So why don't you just say that he's a mekalkel? Rav Yehuda says the answer is that since you're fulfilling a mitzvah, a kiyum mitzvah is by definition called misaken. And Rav Shimon disagrees. He says no, has to be misaken in common sense terms. Here in common sense terms, what's wrong? We live in a world where everybody's mizana, baskayin, everybody's mizana with everybody else. So why are they killing the poor? Why are they killing the poor woman? In common sense terms, there's no misaken over here. The world is a wonderful world, and everybody does whatever they want here. So Rav Shimon says when this pasuk is a raya, then the kalkal. The chavala is chay. The kalkal of these two. The pasuk says lo sevaru eish b'chol mashur sechem. The lashon that the pasuk uses, the pasuk picks on the malacha of havor. See, I bet the havor is going to lead to a kilkul. So it's a right that the kalkal is chay by havor, and the other pasuk is a right the kalkal is chay by chayv. That's the machlokes of Yerub Shimon. So Tosfos asks over here. The Gemara said hobe meisti day, hobe meisti alma. If it's a meisti day, since you're mekayim a mitzvah, that's called misakein. And if it's meisti alma, you're not mekayim a mitzvah, it's not called misakein. The Tosfos says, even if you are mekayim a mitzvah, But a kima mitzvah is a machlekes Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, whether that constitutes misakin or not. So how come this gemara doesn't get you involved in Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda? The Tesis works on that kasha for the answer. Avagavta lekamon mashma. The b'tzorch mitzvah lochashi Reb Shimon tikkun. That's exactly the machlekes Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. The Tesis says there's a difference. Also, mekalkalu legamre she'eno tzorech acher. When you cut up the baby, when you do the mila, so the baby's bleeding, and when you kill a person, so that's mamish mekalk. So that's Reb Shimon holds that just because it's in line of fulfilling a mitzvah, that doesn't make it, that doesn't label it as misakam. Reb Yehuda says that it is misakam. Shimon says no. But by ripping kriya, the gemara holds that that's better. Aval mashu tzorech mitzvah. The Tzorach HaMitzvah Reb Shimon says not called Misaka. Avol Gabi Kriyas Ovel, when he rips the Beged, Havi Tikun HaBeged Al Yidei HaKriya. Something positive comes out of it. Why? Sheyuchol Olofsha B'chol Shoh. What does that mean? Sheyuchol Olofsha B'chol Shoh. So there is a din in my cotton, in the third part of my cotton. If one is observing Shiva for a parent, then in the middle of the shiva, the clothing that they're wearing is so full of perspiration, so dirty, that they want to change their clothing. They want to put on a clean shirt. So the Gemara says you have to rip kriya on the clean shirt. You have to rip kriya a second time. And then if you switch vita later in the week, so you have to rip kriya on the third beged as well. But by Shah Mason, once you rip kriya, you're yotze, and you don't have to rip kriya a second time. Even though you're mrotza l'achlev, matlev, enu kareh. You want to switch your begotten, you don't have to rip kriya again. The place sounds as if they're talking about lazy days, only talking about aloha valimo. Could that be what they're driving at? Sheyuchol alof shekol shor. Now he's allowed to wear the garment in the middle of shiva. And if he wouldn't rip the beged, he wouldn't be allowed to wear this beged in the middle of shiva. It's only aloha valimo. No, the Gemara is talking about all the zaykoid. But the din is not correct, what place is doing. Unless Taisus means to say a different thing, which is a chidish, that even though the Gemara says by the other kraven in rotzal ha'achlev machlev ve'eno koreya, if he wants to switch his begodim, he may do so, and he doesn't have to rip kriya a second time. He was yotzei the first kriya. The Gemara says even alohi v'alimai in rotzal ha'achlev machlev ve'koreya, you have to rip the new beged. That's only mishum kvod olvim. It's not the same din of kriya. The first time he rips kriya for the parent, and the first garment that he's wearing, that's a din of kriya. And the Gemara says, the kera that one rips, alo valimo, is a kera she'eni misaka. You're never allowed to sew it up together, to attach it up, to do a good job. Today, it's usually not worth it. Today, the whole issue is irrelevant. Why should the guy waste his time? Or throw out the jacket, buy himself another jacket. It'll cost him so much to fix it, it's probably not worth it. But with Mana Gemara, this was a discussion. So the Gemara says that there's a difference. Akare aloi valimoi has the status of a kereshein and misacha. You're allowed to do a little stitching, but you're not allowed to do a good job of reweaving it. If you do a good job of reweaving it, you can hardly even notice that it was ever torn. So that's not allowed by aloi valimoi. Ashakrei, it is allowed. Aloi valimoi, it's not allowed. So the Gemara says that halacha, that a kere aloi valimoi is ein misacha, that's a discussion in the Gemara. Maybe that's only on the first kriya. On the second and the third kriya, when he's machlev, lochalachlev, the karei has to rip kriya a second time. And the third time, that's not the same. That's not really the din of kriya ala meis. That's a din of kriya mishum kibud aviyeh. So that the Gemara has a machlekes amarayim, whether that kera is misacha or ein misacha. It's not exactly the same. So again, so what does Taisus mean? Here, Avol Gabi Kriya Sovel, when the Ovel rips Kriya, it's a tikkun in the Beged Al Yidei Kriya, Sheyuchol Olof Shebechol Shoh, that he won't have to rip Kriya again. So they're only talking about Olof Alim, a Shver. So the Pashtus is talking about all the Kriya. So what do you mean Olof Shebechol Shoh? Maybe what Taisus means is that even though the Gemara says, Emrotza Lahach, Emachlet, and Kareya, you're allowed to switch the Godim, and once you switch the Beged, there's no second obligation to rip Kriya a second time. It could be that Kozman, the Ovel, wears the Beged. There is a kiyama mitzvah of wearing a beged karua. It could be that that's what they mean to say. Here there's an ongoing kiyama mitzvah. That's why here, Al Nasty Day is different from the other case. Not so clear.
Then you can't take it
off during Shiva? No, the Gemara says, Maklit. If you want to switch your name, then you're not obligated to rip Kriya a second time on new Begit. But if he keeps on that Begit, it sounds from Tosfos as if they mean to say that there is a Kiyum HaMitzvah. You're not required to do it, but if you do it, if you keep on wearing the Begit Karua, so there is a Kiyum HaMitzvah, the longer he wears it. Mitzvah Kiyumit. Still problematic. Why is that a difference between this case? In this case, why here Tosfos says, here it's only Tikkun HaMitzvah, but here it's something more than that. Sheyuchal Olav Shebechol Shor. This is how the Gemara answers the Stira Meso Meso. It depends if it's one of the Zayin Kreivim, if it's a mitzvah of Kriya, then it's called Misake. And if it's not one of the Zayin Kreivim, even though it's Mutal Lol of Lakovim, because he's the closest Yoresh, but there's no Chiyuv Kriya. So therefore it's Mekalka. How do you answer the Stira by Korea Bechamosoi? So the Gemara says they think that the teretz to that Stira is Horeb Shimon, Horeb Yudah. There is a machloek in Satanoim regarding Malocha Shein Svicha Lugufa, whether it's a deraisa or derabala. So if a person is Kareya Bichamosa, he's angry, and by ripping the Beged, he releases his anger and he calms down. He's Mishake Chamosa, Misakanu Eitzel Yitzro, he calms down, he's not angry anymore. So the Gemara says, would that be called Misakan or not? So the Gemara says that it depends on the machloek of Shimon and Reb Yudah. If you all like Reb Shimon, that you need a melacha tzvicha legufa because he has a tikkun b'yitzroi. There's no tikkun in the gufa beged. There's a tikkun in the davar chitzoni. He's no longer in kahas. So that's called the melacha shein tzvicha legufa. But if you all like Reb Yudah, even a melacha shein tzvicha legufa will also be there, right? The Rashi points out that once he reached that point, that that's the teretz that is given. The answer to the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa, Kareh Bachamosoi, that the Mishnah says Potter, the Braisa says Chayv, or Rab Shimon, or Rab Yudah. The Mishnah goes like Rab Shimon, and Eitz Vichel Guf is Potter, and the Braisa goes like Rab Yudah, Eitz Vichel Guf is Chayv. Once you say like that, that can also be the teretz on the contradiction between Kareh Al-Mesoi. Rashi assumes that Kareh Al-Mesoi is also an Eitz Vichel Guf. He's Mikai Mamitzah, but there's no... There's no tzvicha legufa in the kera. He doesn't accomplish anything with the kera. So the Gemara could have said also Horeb Shimon, Horeb Yudah. Based on Mesach and Amal, the Matzah that should say. Fine. That's what Rashi says. Tosfos adds on to Rashi a little bit, and then they disagree with all Rashi. They add on to Rashi. Usually, when the Gemara first gives one suggestion, and then they back out from that, they say Ela Marava, Ela Maravuna. Ela means we back out from what we said before. But originally the Gemara said, Mesa Mesa is a spirit, but the Teretz was Hava Mes today, Hava Mes the Yama. That's the only Teretz the Gemara could come up with. Then the Gemara says, Chamasa, Chamasa is Akasha. The Gemara says, the Teretz is Chamasa, Chamasa, Namin Akasha, Horeb Yud, Horeb Shimon. So if Rashi says that at this point, this answers the original Kasha also, so why doesn't it say Ela? We're really back. The only way to answer the Stira Chamasa Chamasai is by saying Horeb Yudah Horeb Shimon. You can't say the Mishnah and Braisa go like the same time. Rashi said we tried. We attempted all along to see to it that it shouldn't be dependent on a Machlekes HaTanah. We tried, it didn't work. So we stopped. We had to say it's a Machlekes of Shimon Horeb Yudah. Once you say it's a Machlekes, so this answers the first Kasha also. So Tosfos adds on to Rashi, why doesn't it say Ela? If you're backing out from the original suggestion, you're giving a better answer. It answers everything. So Tosfos gives you a klal. And it appears in many other Masechtas, Tosfos has the same thing. The only time the Gemara, Rashi a lot of times says it also, the only time the Gemara says Ela, when they're backing out from the first suggestion that was given, is if the first suggestion has a name to it. Omar Rave, Omar Abaye, somebody is quoted as giving an answer. Ela, Omar, somebody else. Ela, we back out from what he said and we're suggesting something else. But here, Lahuska Ramoyra Liel. Here the Gemara just said anonymous, an anonymous pshat. It doesn't have anybody's name attached to it. So that's the style of the Gemara. Whenever it doesn't have anyone's name, even when they're backing out, they don't use the expression Ela. Many sugis like that. So Rashi learns
Rashi learns like that. Gemara is backing out on the original answer, and the correct answer that answers both kashas, both mesa mesa hamasa hamasa, the correct answer has to be horeb yud horeb shin. So after Tosfos finishes quoting the Rashi and adding on the comment with the Elo, then they demolish the Rashi. They say it's muchach lekaman the way they learn the Gemara. It's muchach lekaman according to Tosfos' understanding that whenever you do something l'shem mitzvah, that is called a tzricha legufa. The machlekes of Shimon and Rav Yudah, the next daf only is when you do something l'shem mitzvah, then you automatically label it as misakein or not necessarily. So Rav Yudah says mali misakem psila, mali misakein. What does it say? Mona mali misakem psila. This. When you do the Shem Mitzvah, it's also Mesake. The Melacha is done by Fesha Tikkun. Reb Shimon says, no, that's Mekalkal. The common sense terms is no Tikkun, and the Tikkun Shem Mitzvah is not called the Tikkun. So Tesis holds, Tesis is Machriach this, and Kuvav and Aleph, that the only Machleg is Reb Shimon Reb Yudah, if you do something Litva Mitzvah, whether it's called Mesake or it's not called Mesake. But is it called Tzricha Leguf, or the Holadays is called Tzricha Leguf? How did Tesis Machriach that? Because they are fond of quoting Gemara Sanhedrin. Here they quote four Gemaras. They quote four Gemaras that demonstrate that even though Reb Shimon holds Mekalka B'choy V'lam Ravir, his Chayiv, but he still holds you have to have Tzricha L'gufa. According to Rashi, that's an impossibility. Rashi seems to hold the Feirish that the Machlekes is Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah by Melokh Hashem Tzricha L'gufa, but the Chayiv HaPater, that's a prat within the Din HaMesakeh. Malacha requires every malacha should be done in a fashion mechayra. All of 39 malachas often have to be done in a fashion of misakein. And if you do mekalkal, you're not chayev. So Rashi learns that there's a machlekes of Shimon and Rav Yudah. Would the following case be called misakein? If you have a situation that's very bad and it's going to deteriorate, it's going to get worse, and you did a malacha to prevent it from deteriorating, you didn't improve the situation, but you proved it in the sense that it's not going to further deteriorate. It's not going to get worse. So Reb Yudah says, that's a tikkun, you gebalt it. You saved the whole house from burning down, or the fellow was sick, and you stopped the progression of the sickness, and it's just going to stay the way it is. You didn't heal him, you didn't make him better, but you caused the situation to stop where it is now. So Rashi learns that that is the machlekes of Shimon Reb Yudah. Reb Yudah holds that that's called Misakein, and Reb Shimon holds that the ain't tzricha legufa is not called Misakein. Misakein has to be you improve the situation. If you prevent it from deteriorating, that's not called Misakein. So according to Rashi, that the Machlekes of Shimon and Reb Yudah by ain't tzricha legufa is a prat within Misakein and Mekalkel, it's impossible to say, according to Rashi Shita, it's impossible to say, according to Reb Shimon, that Mekalkel b'choy v'olam avir is chayet, but you still have to have Tzricha L'gufa. That's nonsense. Tzricha L'gufa is a prat within Misakein. It's only called Misakein if there's a positive tikkun. If the tikkun is just a negative tikkun, you prevent it from getting worse, prevent it from further deteriorating, that's not called tikkun. But if Reb Shimon holds that Mekalkel is chayet b'choy v'olam avir, means that these two malachas you don't need, malachas machsheves, that's how the Gemara says increases. This is quoted a few times before. The Gemara says increases that there's more than one din that's learned out from the pasuk Malach Masheves. They had a lot of din. So one din is Misakin versus Mekalkal, is derived from Malach Masheves. And another din is Misasek. That's the Gemara increases Davchof Amashmul. Misasek, the Shabbos Potter, because Malach is not Sheves Hasvatar. So the Gemara says increases. Since Reb Shimon holds Mekalkel is Chayv B'choy V'olam Avir, so what does that show? That by these two malachas, this different from the other 37 malachas, that there's no need for malachas machsheves. So not only would Reb Shimon say that Mekalkel is Chayv B'choy V'olam Avir, he would say that Misasik is also Chayv. Hanach L'Tinoik, as the Gemara said, the case of the, there's a Mishnah later, of Lezer Nemila, that there are two babies who need a bris. One bris is supposed to be on Friday, one is supposed to be on Shabbos. Or another case, one is supposed to be on Shabbos, one is supposed to be on Sunday. The Moel did the wrong bris on Shabbos. It was Mechal Shabbos, it wasn't a Mila Bismana, either it was Mukdam, either it was Turk Shmoino, or it was a Mila Shlegismana, it was the ninth day. It was Mal the Friday's baby on Shabbos. It was Mal the Sunday's baby on Shabbos. Two different Mishnais later, Ablezer the Mila. So the Gemara discusses the details of that case. So the Gemara says, well, it's a misasek. He did the bris, he mixed it up. The misasek is usually potter on Shabbos. How can the Mishnah discuss what is chayv chatos? The Gemara says, no, the Mishnah goes, the Mishnah Reb Loza, and the Mila goes like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds that mekalka b'chavola is chayv. So hanach l'tinaik is that case in the Mishnah is a special case. Holam mekalka l'chayv, misasek nami chayv. Why? So Tosis explain why, because Mekalkel and Misasek are both learned that from the same pasuk from Malachas Machsheves. So if Reb Shimon says that Mekalkel is Chayv B'chol Gulamav, it means you don't need Malachas Machsheves. According to Rashi, it's impossible to say that B'chol Gulamav Reb Shimon holds Mekalkel is Chayv, but you still need Tzvichol Gufa. No, Tzvichol Gufa is a prak within Misake. Once you say Mekalkel is Chayv, so you don't, it's not shy to require Tzvichol Gufa. But Tosis has these four Gemaras that say the same, it's not like Rashi. So Rashi says, oh, those are obscure Gemaras. Apparently he holds that they're Nidcha. The main Gemara is over here. Kufa Menalot, that these two are connected with each other. Rashi writes, Lo Yisparish Eicho. Rashi says over here, how did the Gemara see that there's a Machlek Zeb Shimon and Reb Yudah with a Mekalkel B'chol is Chayyad B'chayb al-Mavir? Where did they get it from? So Rashi explains how the Tali Zeb is there. If you hold that you need Tzvicha L'gufa, so it's always going to be Mekalkel, so you see the Mekalkel is Chayyad. Oh, you don't need Tzvicha L'gufa. It could be Misakin without being Tzvicha L'gufa. So it's possible to do Chayyad al-Mavir. According to Reb Yudah, it's possible to do Chayyad al-Mavir, that's fashion on Misakin. The Rashi interprets in Agimara that the two concepts are connected, one with the other. Tosis disagrees with that Rashi. The Tosis Dibra Maskel, the Chelv of Tzorach LeKabba, they quote the four Gemaras. They quote from Sanhedrin Pei Dalet, Le'el Dafayin Hei, Le'kaman Kuf Chof Alef, and increases Daf Chof. They quote all the four Gemaras that say Beferish. The way they read the Gemara, it says Beferish, that even though Reb Shimon holds that Mekalkel B'chayv al-Mavir is Chayv, you still need that it should be Tzvicha L'gufa. So Rashi rejects those Gemaras. He holds that this Gemara is the Iker. So Tosfos holds that there's no contradiction between the two Gemaras. So according to Tosfos, how did the Gemara know that there's Machlek Zeb Shimon and Reb Yudah? Where does it come from? Rashi says, Lo Yisparish Eicho, and then he works hard, Veli Nira, and he figured it out how it's totally Zeb Zeb. According to Tosfos, how did the Gemara know that there's such a Machlek Zeb Yudah Reb Shimon when the Mekalkel B'chayv al-Mavir? There's no Mishnah, there's no Brisa, just from thin air, the Gemara says. Machlek Zeb Yudah Reb Shimon. So Tosfos writes on the last line on the bottom, Tosfos Kuf Vav and Aleph. Sichaloyma, the Ach Flukt in the Mekalkel B'chabur, Kabbalah Hesediyot, had an oral tradition, even though it doesn't appear anywhere in a Mishnah in a Brisa that's quoted. Maybe it's in a Brisa that's not quoted, but one never quotes a Brisa that says that there's such Machlek. It had an oral tradition, and it's unrelated to any other Machlek as Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah. It's not totally Zed Zed with anything else. That's the Hechrich Tosis forced them to saying that, because they have all the four Gemaras that say, even though Reb Shimon holds Mekalkel Chayv B'chol Mavir, still needs Tzvicha L'gufa. So here, the Tosis on Kuf Hei Med Beis is alluding to what they write on this on Kuf Vav Amin Aleph, the Gemara Maschah B'chayv. So they ask on the Gemara, Reb Shimon learns that from Sreikos Bas Koyen, Mekalkel B'chavor is Chayv. And Reb Shimon learns that from Mila Shle Bizman is not Techa Shabbos, that Mekalkel B'chavor is Chayv. That's how the Gemara presents the argument. So Tosis says the Kasha, but we have four Gemaras that say that even though he holds Mekalkel as Chayv, still has to be Tzvicha L'Gufa. So where is the Tzvicha L'Gufa over here? So Tosis comes up with an answer. Since he's doing it, the Bar Mitzvah is called Tzvicha L'Gufa. Wait a minute, that's according to Reb Shimon. Reb Yudah is the one who said that, since it's Tzvicha L'Gufa. But he says, no, the Machlek is Reb Shimon Reb Yudah is whether, since you're doing it in Bar Mitzvah, is it called Misakin or not? So Reb Shimon holds it's not called Misakin. Misakin is determined by common sense terms. The fact that you're accomplishing a mitzvah, that doesn't label it as Misakin. Reb Yudah holds it's called Misakin also. But this Reb Shimon is also masking with, if you're doing it with Bar Mitzvah, then it's called a Melocha Tzvicha L'Gufa. That's how Tosis says. Melocha Tzvicha L'Gufa is not determined objectively. It's determined subjectively. The fellow wants to do a mitzvah, so that's called Tzvicha L'Gufa. Even though Reb Shimon holds that it's called Mekalk. So that's what Tosis alludes to when they disagree with Rashi. Rashi said that once you get to the answer, Hakarei b'chamosai chayv apata, the contradiction to the Mishnah and the Brisa. The Gemara says The Gemara's final answer is that it depends on the machlokes. Rashi says, once you get to that answer, it's like Ela, and that answers the original Kasha of Karei Al Mesa as well. You're ripping Kriya on a mace, so Rashi says, it's a Malacha Shein, Tzvicha Legufa, he's not going to use the Kera, he's only being good to the mitzvah, he's not going to use the Kera. So that's the answer to the original Kasha. So he says, wrong. So he says, that's not called, since you're fulfillment of a mitzvah, that's not called a Tzvicha Legufa. So he says, disagrees with Rashi. That's Lishitosa, on Kuvav and Aleph. Because they proved from their four Gemaras that it's not totally Zeb Zeb. But Rashi holds that this Gemara rejects all the other four Gemaras. Some of the Gemaras Rashi doesn't leave like Tesis. The one on Ayin Hey, Rashi had a different shot. And the other three Gemaras Taka say the Feirish like Tesis. Rashi holds those are Yotzev Zeb and Diki Gemaras. He holds that this Gemara says that it is totally Zeb Zeb. Then Tzvicha Legufa is a prat with the Sakin. So Rashi, Tesis says, as they proved later. Yeah, they proved it. The Lishitasim, they proved it. According to Rashi, they didn't prove anything. Rashi doesn't agree with anything that Taisa said here, Bechayim. That's why Rashi here, on Kufayim Beis, is about the Lishitasim. He holds that the ripping Kri Alameis is called the name Tzricha Legufa. Everything here is interconnected. All of the Machlikas and Rashi, everything is interconnected. The Gemara speaks of the different chiyuvim of kriya. Yes, so what are they? It's one of the zayin kriyuvim, that's what Rashi says. One of the zayin kriyuvim I mentioned in Parsha Semor, that's meizdi day. Is there ever a chiyuv kriya on a meizdi alma? So the Gemara says, yeah, chacham shemeiz. If a talmid chacham dies, hakol ki kriyuvim, everybody has to read kriya, and everybody has a sudas havra. That's interesting. What is a sudas havra all about? So Rashi quotes from Yechezkel chapter Chof Dalet. That's not Chof Dalet of the Bach. The Bach doesn't go to number 24. It's Yechezkel chapter Chof Dalet, where Rashi quotes. Lachem Anoshim Loi Teicha. What's the story with Yechezkel? He was told a Nevuah that the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed. And he was told in advance he should already observe Avelis over the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Pasuk tells us that some of the dinim he did, some of the laws of Avelis he did observe, some of the laws of Avelis he did not observe. So we learn that from Yechezkel both. The laws that he observed is a raya that's part of Shiv, and even the laws that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him in Nevuah, you should not observe this din, don't observe that din, we can infer that by a real Avel, where someone really died, here no one died yet. He's observing Avelos al Shem Ha'asid, because there's going to be a Churban Beis HaMikdash. So from the fact that he's told things that he should not observe is a clear indication that by a person is really an Avelos, he has to observe all of those. So one of the dinim you learn out from the pasuk is lechem anoshim loy toichal, that by a normal person is in avelus, he has to have a sudas havra. Sudas havra means, Rashi claims, suda rishayna, he's not allowed to eat mishalom. There are different opinions in rishayna. Some rishayim say, in fact, there's Rashi in different places. Some rishayim say the first 3 days of shiva, he's not allowed to eat the zon. Other rishayim say the first day of shiva. We pass in only suda rishayna of the yom rishon, the first meal on the first day. Let's say they went to the cemetery, they finished the Gvur at 4:15. By the time they come back, it's already after 5 o'clock at night, and it's already after Tzeisak Kachab. So there's no Din of Sudas Havra, goodbye. The Din of Sudas Havra is only the Suda Rishayna Yom HaRishon. If he's done, let's say the Gvur was Balayla. So the Suda Rishayna is going to be breakfast. If someone else should give him breakfast, lunch he can eat on his own. There's no Din Suda Shniya on the Yom HaRishon. And if the Yom HaRishon went by and he didn't eat anything after the Kvur, he eats before the Kvur. He's allowed to. The Oilim is allowed to eat before the Kvur. Says, Ein a mesa v'yachal. He's not allowed to sit down and eat a whole full meal. To eat a lavish meal that night. He's allowed to have a sandwich. The din is that he doesn't say Amoitzi, he doesn't say Birchas HaMazon. He doesn't say any bracha. The Oilim is not allowed to do any mitzvah. He's allowed to eat food. He doesn't have to fast Tanesim. He shouldn't eat dessert. Ein a mesa, he shouldn't eat a very filling meal. In the Mesa Yechem, he shouldn't eat a full meal. He's glad that he shouldn't be hungry. But the Suda Rishayna means after the Kvura. After they finish the Kvura, if there is no Suda Rishayna on the first day, so there's no din of Suda Savra. What kind of a din is this Suda Savra? Rashi says, Asa Lecha Mishalo. That's the Lashon of Gemara. Aval Asa Lecha Mishalo, Suda Rishayna on the Yom HaRishon. It's a discussion in the Paskim and the Achrayim and Shulchan Aruch what the nature of the din of Suda Savra is. Is it an Isur? is it an Easter on the Ovel? He's not allowed to eat Mishalo to demonstrate how his helplessness, that someone died and life doesn't continue on so easily for him. So to demonstrate how helpless he feels, he shouldn't prepare the first meal on his own. Someone else should prepare the meal. Is that the pshat? Or is the pshat, no, the others should be Menachem Ovel. It's a mitzvah on the others that they should give him the first meal. And it's also Lecha Mishalo because he's cheating the friends and the neighbors from the opportunity of fulfilling a mitzvah of giving him the Sudas Avroah. That's a form of Nicham Avel. Let's say he's in a community and nobody knows, there's nobody there. There's no Jewish people there. And he took care of the kvur of a relative. And there's nobody there who knows that you're supposed to give the Sudas Avroah. So then Gorim, so he's allowed to eat Mishalo. Some possible, he's not mechuyif to fast the whole day. And others, although he's not allowed to eat, he's mechuyif to fast the whole day. Because the mitzvah, also lechem mishalo, is not that it's also for the avil to cheat the neighbors from their opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of presenting him with the Sudas Avraham. It's not that it's a mitzvah on the neighbors to present him, the mitzvah of Nicham Avelim. It's rather an Isser on the avil. He has to demonstrate his helplessness. That's a machlokes harishon, what the nature of the din is. And what if there's nobody there? Is he allowed to eat mishalom? So the post can talk about that. Anyway, that's Sudas Avroah. Sudas Avroah says in Shulchan Aruch, you can have on Shabbos also. Let's say a person is notified on Shabbos that a relative died. So the Sudas Avroah, the Sudas Avroah on Shabbos. Shach writes in Yeridei that there's no problem. And Yontif is a discussion. What about Yontif? What a Chalamoy? What do you say? What do you do with Sudas Avraham on Yontif or Chalamoy? That's a discussion. But on Shabbos is Beferish, you can have a Sudas Avraham. That's why the Shach writes in Hilchas Milo, he quotes the Maharam Mintz, that when a baby boy is born, so you have a Shalom Zocha on Friday night. So what is that all about? Just throwing more parties that Jews like to eat. The Jews like to get chicken, the Jews like to eat. So they're always eating. So the Shach quotes the Maharam Mintz that the Shalom Zohar is the Sudas Avroah, the baby's in Avelis. He just lost his brains. Why? Because the Malach slaps him. The Gemara says the Malach teaches the baby. The Gemara says it neither. The Malach teaches the baby Pala Tarakula before he's born. And then as he's about to be born, he gives him a slap and he causes him to forget everything. So that's what could be an Avelis over. So since the baby is an Avelis over the loss of the Lumina Torah that he had, so you give the baby a Sudas Avroah. So that's why the meaning developed that you give round chickpeas, you give harvest on the hit, whatever. In different languages they call it, in English it's called chickpeas. Because the meaning is that when one is an Avelis, so you give round things, because Avelis is like a galgal achoze ba'ilo. Everybody has to observe Avelis at some time or another. People die who never died before, everybody dies. So that's why the meaning is that you give a hard-boiled egg, you give a round egg, and you give a round bagel. The meaning is that he gives, by the Shalom Zach, he gives chickpeas. Rav Soloveitchik was very opposed to that. He said that that's not the reason. Whatever the reason is, that's not the reason. And you shouldn't give nahit, and has nothing to do with, that was his family tradition, has nothing to do with the Sudas Avraham. But that's what the Shach writes. Shach quotes the Ma'amin, says the idea of the Shalom Zach is the Sudas Avraham.
If the baby is still in the hospital, will it still do it?
Yeah. The Pasim say you still do, you can have the Shalom Zachar even at home, even though the baby's over there, you have Shalom Zachar. You never know where the baby is. It's just symbolic. But, the baby's not going to eat anything anyway. It's just symbolic of the Sudas Avraham. So where do you have a Chiyuv Kriya Nachamot? So you have a design Kriya, you have a Chacham Shameis, Hakol Ki Kriyavov, everyone has to read Kriya, and everyone has to participate in the Sudas Avraham. Everybody has to participate in Sudas Avraham. And if he's Nishke Chacham, but he's a Frumah Elchi, he had a reputation, he was a very fine Balabas, not so learned. So the Gemara says, Adam Kosher, also everybody has to read Kriya. And even if he's not an Adam Kosher, a plain Jew, if you're there at the time that he dies, I'm an Alameis, B'shas, Yitzias, Neshama, Chayav L'Kroya, and Taisis points out the little Taisis, Mashma Leila Hashas, the Gemara understood from that Brisa, even if he's Eid or Kosher, even if the guy is nothing special, a plain Balabas dies, nothing unusual about him. He didn't go to shul every morning, he didn't give so much stock, he wasn't so medactic in anything. If you're there, B'shas, Yitzias, Neshama, also you have to rip Kriya. And in this case, the Gemara gives a strange Mashal Halamazah Daimah, what is this to be compared to? Sefer Torah Shenitzufa, if someone is present when the Sefer Torah is destroyed, so you have to rip Kriya. That's a din in the Gemara, it's a din in Shulchan Aruch, you have to rip Kriya. So to over here, when a Jewish person dies, that's to be compared to the Sefer Torah Shenitzufa. What's the mushal? What in the world of a mushal is this? Why is a Jewish person compared to a Sefer Torah Shenitzufa? But many years ago, Rav Soloveitchik had the practice to give a Yahrzeit drasha every year on his father's Yahrzeit. So the drashas used to be derech klal for 4 hours. The first 2 hours used to be halacha. He started off with about 5 kashas. And we were thinking, no one in the world was ever going to answer these kashas, because he was such an expert at explaining what the kasha was. So you would think, no one's ever going to answer these kashas. And then he would show, there would always be a missing gemara. He gave a list of 30 gemara. There would always be one gemara that would be missing, the main gemara. He would quote a gemara from somewhere, and that gemara was something strange, and you see from the gemara that the nature of the din is so-and-so, such-and-such, and that answers all the kashas fell apart. And then he would review the kashas again, show the way everything is far effort. That was the style of presentation. When he gave the shiur in yeshiva, he didn't do it like that. He learned the gemara straight, but that was for the balabatim. That was for the public, son. His father's yahrzeit, once a year he gave such a shiur. So the first 2 hours used to be halacha, then the second hour used to give drush, hashkafa, amunah, chelika agadah. So 1 year, he spoke about this gemara. Why is a Jewish person compared to Sefer Torah Shenitzufa? And it was written up, he used to be a famous writer, he used to write for the Yiddish newspaper, Hillel Zeidman, passed away a long time ago. So he wrote up this drush. And several years ago, around 10 years ago, it was reprinted, the Yiddish Russia was reprinted in the YU publication, and I think Professor Shalom Carmi translated it into Hebrew. That's an interesting essay, interesting Russia, why a person is compared to a secretary. And the main thing that he developed was that the Gemara says, that same Gemara says, the Malach teaches the baby called Tarakula before he's born, and then the Malach makes him forget. So if the Malach makes him forget, so why did he waste his time to teach him in the first place? So the answer must be that something remains behind. It can't be that everything is wiped off, so what did he do, this act of futility, to teach him Kala Torah Kula Yes? It must be that something remains. So that was Rav Soloveitchik's theme. Rav Chaim Balozhiner writes that there are Tashmisha Kiddush and Tashmisha Mitzvah. You have a Sukkah and a Shofar and an Esrog. That's Tashmisha Mitzvah. So after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, if you want, you can throw it out. Talis, after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, you can throw it out. And then you have Tashmisha Kedusha, Sefer Torah Tefillah and Mezuzah, that even if the mezuzah is so possible that it can't even be fixed, you still have to bury it in the shenkes. It's nignozim. You're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage. Tashmisha Mitzvah and Mizrokim, and they'd be thrown out in the garbage, as opposed to Tashmisha Kedusha, which are nignozim. So how do the Tanoim know which religious article should be labeled as Tashmisha Mitzvah, and which should be labeled as Tashmisha Kedusha? So the Gemara never explains. In fact, the Ramban and the Mohammeds at the end of Moed Katan understands, he interprets that there's a Braisa, where there's a Machlokes HaTanoim, and the Ramban interprets the Machlokes is where the Tzitzis is Tashmisha Mitzvah, Tashmisha Kedusha. The other Rishonim don't have such a Machlokes. The other Rishonim say, what do you mean? There never was a Machlokes. Tzitzis for sure. It's Tashmisha Mitzvah, it's not Tashmisha Kedusha. It can't be a Machlokes. So what is the what's the criterion to determine? So Rav Chaim Balozhiner writes in Nefesh HaChayim that the criterion to determine is whether it has Divrei Torah. Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah have Psukim written on them. And because the Sefer Torah has more Psukim than Tefillin, and Tefillin has more Psukim than Mezuzah, that's why the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than the Tefillin, that's why the Tefillin have more Kedusha than the Sefer Torah. The Gemara says in Bama Madlikin, we discussed already that the Baish Al Rosh has one shin on it, we have two shins on either side. The Gemara sounds like it only has one shin. It has one shin, and that shin is one letter of Divrei Torah. That's also called Divrei Torah. It's also called Tashmisha Kedusha. If you can learn more than one letter, you should learn more. But if you only learn one letter, it's also a Madrega of Limanat Torah. So the source of all Kedusha emanates from Divrei Torah. If you have Divrei Torah, then the thing is called the Gufei Kedusha, or the Tefillah that goes to Tashmisha Kedusha. Anything that has to do with Torah has Kedusha. So Rav Soloveitchik explained all Kedushas in the world are based on Divrei Torah. So the Shaila was, there's a concept of Kedushas Yisrael. The Jewish people have a Kedushas Yisrael, which the Yomisalim don't have. So how is that based on Divrei Torah? Where do you have what? Where do you have Divrei Torah on your body? There are no Divrei Torah. The answer is people learn Torah. But the Amoratzim don't learn Torah. So what about the Amoratzim that doesn't learn Torah? So what is his Kedushas Yisrael based on? That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. The Malach teaches every Jewish baby Kol HaTorah Kula, the boys and the girls, they're all taught Kol HaTorah Kula before they're born. And even though the Malach slaps the baby and he forgets everything, but the Kedusha remains behind. That's why every Jewish person has Kedusha. All Kedushas are based on Divrei Torah, because Torah is a representation of Elokus. Torah is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Moshe Lakadmoni. So that's how every Jew is endowed with Kedusha, because of the fact that the Malach taught him Kol HaTorah Kula before he was born. So even if the person is an Amoritz Gomon, he's not religious at all, but Ha'imen Alameis B'chas Tzias Neshama, Areza Daima L'Sefer Torah Shenisra For. The Brisa says, why? Because every Jewish person is compared to a Sefer Torah, because the Malach taught him Kol HaTorah Kula. If the person learns more Torah, so he enhances his Kedusha. Not going to be on the same level. The Amor is not going to be on the same level as the great Talmud.
I don't know what to say about a girl.
Should have a shalom in the cave, but for a girl also. I don't know. It's a very good question. Why is it only for a boy? We assume that the Malach teaches the girls also a Kol HaTorah Kula, not just the boys. I don't know. Yeah, we don't observe this din, this man said. Haimer alameis b'shas tzias nisham. The Chevi Kaddisha often goes, there's a minyan that you try to have a minyan present when someone is about to die. That the soul feels very lonely. So especially if he's about to die, you're going to feel extremely lonely. So if you have a minyan of people there, so you cheer him up. Cheer up the nisham. Even if the person is not conscious. So there's such a minyan to insist on try to have a minyan. So the Chevi Kaddisha go, do not give kriya when the person dies. The doctors and nurses, even religious doctors and nurses in Shari Tzedek Hospital, they don't give kriya. They're there all the time, people dying all the time, they don't give kriya. That's a shaila, why not? So the Achrenim justify our negligence in not observing this din in the Gemara, Oyim Alameis B'Shas Yitzias Neshama. So they justify by saying, Cain, Yismali Kol HaBeged Kula Kroy. If you're going to have to rip, if the Chevi Kaddisha will have to rip kriya every time they're present, the shas, then when someone dies, so they're going to have to rip kriya all the time. So that's their job, the Chevi Kaddisha always does. The doctors, the nurses, they're always there in the hospital when people are dying, and that if they're in the baby delivery ward, no one is ever dying over there. But if they're in the cancer ward, so every day people are dying in the cancer ward, you're going to tell them to have to rip kriya all the time. It doesn't make any sense. So why not? Well, what's that argument? So this is an expression that the Achrenim got from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara Sanhedrin says on the Afsamah and Aleph, I think Gemara talks about Hamidgadeh. When someone hears, the Mishnah says there, when one hears someone else curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we learn from the Pasuk that you have to rip Kriya. Pasuk says Rav Shaki was Megadesh and Megadeth as Hashem, and the people didn't hear the Begadim. So the implication is that the correct practice should have been, I should have ripped the Begadim. So that's what we say. Hashemei Agiduf, Chiruf Agiduf Mechaver has to be Kriya. So the Gemara has a Shaila, what if you hear from the Nochrim Bizman Hazeh? Hashemei Askar Mepi HaNochrim Bizman Hazeh. Chayiv L'Kroya, Arena Chayiv L'Kroya. Gemara says, no, not Chayiv L'Kroya. Why not? In Cain, the smaller Kalabegad Kula Kroya. So what's the argument? So some interpret what it means is that it's a takana de rabbanah, special kula. The whole din of kriya is only with the rabbanah. So you're going to tell a guy, you're going to make life impossible. He has to keep on ripping all of his blood. You walk in the street, you hear the shikar and nachrim. They're always saying chiruv v'giduf. So every time you have to rip kriya. So the chacham gave us a break, and they said if it's going to be in the smala kalabayit kula kroyim, he gave us a break and he said you don't have to rip kriya. And others interpret the Gemara differently, but it does, so the same over here means that they made a special takana for doctors and nurses in Chevi Kaddisha. No religious person would want to become a doctor or nurse, and no one would want to join the Chevi Kaddisha if I have to keep on ripping kriya. So any salary that I learn will go every day, a new jacket goes. It's too expensive to be in this life. You're going to have to pay me so much salary to be a doctor every day to destroy another jacket. It's impossible. So some say it's a takana de rabbon. Others say, no, you don't have to say it's a takana de rabbon. Tosfos uses the expression here, harab yudif, and kufay mebeis, with the asterisk is, it tells you to look on the Tosfos Yom, it disagrees with the mashal, what the gersa should be in Tosfos. So they have a line, is bechimum, leis bechimum. This is based on the Gemara in Moikot. The Gemara says that Kriya has to be b'shas chimum. when a person loses a relative and the din requires that he has to rip kriya, so the kriya should be b'shas chima. When it's b'shas chima means that time when he's most aggravated, when he's most emotional about the death of the relative. So when is that? But many have the practice right before they finish the gvur in the cemetery, right before they finish the gvur. Others have the practice right after they have stayed in the funeral home. Others have the practice right before they have stayed in. The different minhagim. All of it is shaschim. The whole thing is shaschim. As opposed to waiting till the end of Shiva. Let's say a person is going to wait till the end of Shiva and is going to rip kriya on the fifth day, on the sixth day. That's already not shaschim. Shaschim is some time or another on the first day. So the different minhagim have pinpointed which moment of time on the first day is the most emotional time. So some say right before the kriya. Some say right after the hesped, right before the hesped, or whatever. So the din is that the kriya, the ripping of kriya, is supposed to indicate chimum. It's supposed to demonstrate that the person is emotional about the death of a relative. So this is only by medvar mamurim, something unusual happens. But if you live in a non-Jewish society and they're cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the shikurim, a cursing, the charef, and the guide of all day long, so the Gemara has a lashon, came to smile at Begad Kula Kroy. What do you mean, all day long, going to rip kriya? There is no shas chima. People don't get so emotional. You get used to it. Like years ago, the Mashgiach in the yeshiva used to be Rabbi Les. So before he came to America, when he lived in Slabodka, he was a prominent figure in Slabodka. He was the secretary of the Vada Rabbanim or something. So on one occasion, he came to America, I think, where Moshe Mordechai Epstein and Rav Kook came to America. I think he came also at that time. So he said that he was, he said, I think they stayed in the Broadway Central. That was the hotel where all the religious Jews stayed, and it doesn't exist anymore. They knocked it down. They turned into a drug rehabilitation center, and then the drug used to destroy the whole hotel. So now there is no Broadway Central. Years ago, that's where I got married. Half the Jews got married in the Broadway Central. So said they stayed in the Broadway Central, and then they walked, I think, to the east side on Shabbos to Davin. So they said they passed by the pushcarts where the Jews were selling, talking Yiddish, and selling merchandise on Shabbos. He said he went with the Mashgiach, I think, from Slabodka, I think he said. He said the Mashgiach fainted on the floor. He saw the people talking Yiddish, and they're selling Chal Shabbos. He fainted on the floor. So he says, the second time he passed by, he didn't faint at all. He almost got a heart attack. Almost. So the third time he didn't even, the third Shabbos, he didn't even almost get a heart attack. Oh, he got used to it already. So that's what Dr. Reddy was saying. This malikala begat kulakrai means the doctors and the nurses who work on the cancer floor. So they get used to it. People die walking into it. So you can't say that the mukhiv to rip kriya because there's a shas chima. There is no shas chima. Truth of the matter is there is no shas chima. That's what the Magen Avraham develops an idea also. They're ripping kriya. Avelus chadosh, if something happened today, a relative dies, and then there's a shas chimur. Avelus yishara, what do you mean? We're still crying over the destruction of Beis HaMikdash from 2,000 years ago. It's a different thing of kriya. It's a formality of ripping kriya, but it's not really a kriya of shas chimum, and therefore he has the dinam are slightly different. Dinam are a little bit different. Ripping kriya on the Beis HaMikdash is different from ripping kriya when a relative dies. So it's not based on shas chimum. So that's what the Achreidim say, that we don't observe this in the Chevikad. If it's the Chevikadisha is there, or if it's the doctors and the nurses who are always there and they see people die all the time, then they say, in Canis Malakal Benet Kula Kroim, our practice is that we don't rip kriya. What if a person walks in, and Nashon Nechebe Kaddish is not a doctor, he walks in, they're putting together a minyan to be present, then he should rip kriya. Ibn Alameis, even if he's not an Onim Kosher. Usually it's going to be an Onim Kosher. If they ask you to come to be part of the minyan, usually it's going to be some very religious person who would have wanted to have a minyan, the Shas and Kis and Shas. Usually it is going to be an Onim Kosher. It should have been a Bal Tashlis, but if it's a Takanas Chachamim that they required it as a formality to demonstrate that that we recognize that some tragedy occurred, even though we don't really take it so seriously, So that also takes off the Baal Tashkis.
So it would be like it wouldn't really be violating
the Baal Tashkis,
would
you? Probably not, no. He's fulfilling what the Chachamim required of him. So there wouldn't be any Makas Mai this evening. Whenever you rip something, whenever you destroy something for some good purpose, so that takes off Baal Tashkis. There's a Mishnah that says that there used to be in the Beis HaMikdash, they had Kohanim and Levim standing guard all night long, Shmir, in the Beis HaMikdash. So there was one fellow in charge, he would go around to make sure that everybody's awake. If you would catch somebody who would be sleeping on the job, he would take a torch, he would go with a torch, because it's dark at night, he would take a torch and start burning his shoes. So the Rosh on the side of the Mishnah is Tomei, the Estakasha, Baal Tashkis, are you allowed to burn his shoes? So he says, it's a tzorach. We want to teach him a lesson. He shouldn't fall asleep next time. Whenever it's a tzorach, so we assume there's no Baal Tashkis. Whenever you're going to get something out of it, there's no Baal Tashkis.
For Zion Krovim, you're there
at the Shas, is there any one of those that you're there? Yeah, I think that is the minute, that these minhagim that you're at Kriya right before the Hesped, right after the Hesped, or right before the Gevur is finished. That's if you weren't there b'shas tzias neshama. But those relatives who were there b'shas tzias neshama, the practice usually is that they rip that beggar that they're wearing at that time. Because that's, even if it wouldn't have been one of the relatives, that's why I'm at Alameis b'shas tzias neshama. You have to rip it.
Saying the volunteers. The volunteers ask you to come in, you know, Travis Schechter to come in for many of these. So you're not one of the doctors, so they'll... You should turn
for it. Probably should. Make sure you wear an old beggar. Make sure you wear an old beggar because you're going to have to rip Kriya. Yeah, that pashtas you should. The whole kula that the Achronim have is, I think, by the Chevron Kaddish, by the doctors, by the nurses. But they don't give a kula. There's no kula. I'm an alameh b'shas tzis neshama that you got to rip Kriya. It's in the din of the Gemara, that's all. And even if he's not an onim kosher, Taisa shows from the Gemara. Even if he's not a, not known for his piety, still have to rip Kriya.
What is the people that's going on in a wedding when you're smashing your glass? I know that Rabbi Papa says no, and you're not going to do it.
Yeah, that's a good question. It appears in the Gemara, the same question on the Gemara, though. The Gemara says that there was once a wedding in Brochus, the Gemara says, and they saw that they were dancing so wild, they were going out of hand, so someone smashed a very expensive white glass container, and everybody was stunned. And then he said that, because of the Chutzim Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to celebrate with so much, to be so hilarious. You can dance, you can sing, but not to be so much the simcha. So based on that Gemara, that's what we always do. So what are we accomplishing? I guess we're accomplishing loyalis Yushalayim or us in the Chassid. That the Chassid, if you want to have, it's a mitzvah medivik Kabbalah probably, the words of the Navi, loyalis Yushalayim or us in the Chassid. Kill him. Apparently that's also a tzairah. Here the Gemara on Kuvav Min Aleph quotes, Rabbi Bo recited a brayse in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan didn't like it. It says, Puktani Lebra, it doesn't make any sense. And if there is such a brayse, Imtet Tzilanu Mishnah, if you have such a reading, it must be with a condition. You have to limit it a little bit. It has to be Chayvav Tzach LeKalbo, Mavet Tzach LeYafa. Rabbi Bo didn't have that limitation. And he thought that the price is correct the way it stands. You don't need any ticket at all. What is the, then the Gemara says later that there is a machlokes between Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah, when the Mekalkal B'chavul Mavah is chayv enough. So Tosis quotes the Rashbam, Pirush HaBein HaShmur. Rashbam is the grandson of Rashi, Lord with Rashi. So he often says the same as Rashi. Over here Tosis points out that from the Chayim Mashma B'Somach, Mitok Pirush Rashi, Rashi sounds like the Rashbam and Rashi say the same. That the machlok is between Rabbi Abohu and Rabbi Yochanan simply is, should we adopt the position of Rabbi Shimon or the position of Rabbi Yudah? That Rabbi Abohu presents a price that Mekalkal B'chov L'mavu is chayiv, that's Rabbi Shimon Shita. And Rabbi Yochanan is unhappy about it, he says that you're not chayiv, that's Rabbi Yudah Shita. So Tosis quotes a Gemara in Chulin Daf Tezvav. Mother also talks about Machlekes Rav Meir and other Tanoim. So the Gemara says, just because you paskin like a certain Tana, so you cross out every Braisa that goes not like your Tana, you're allowed to have a Machlekes HaTanoim and paskin like one of the two Tanoim. Why do you cross out? So Tosfos says over here, if the Machlekes between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yechonon simply is, should be paskin like Rabbi Shimon, the Kalkal Chai B'Rav Mamre, should be paskin like Rabbi Yudah, so why did you get so carried away? Rabbi Yechonon says, Puk Tani Libra, throw out your price, it's all wrong. Or if you have such a price, you got to amend it, you have to correct it, you have to say it's under condition. Where do you get so excited? There's a price that says like Rav Shimon, and I don't want to pass like Rav Shimon, I don't want to pass like Rav Yudin. So that's what leads Tesis, okay, Nira, that's what leads Tesis to give a totally different interpretation. That according to Rav Yudin, the Gemara says, according to Rav Yudin, the Kalkal is not Chai B'Chai 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 and the chayv of tzorch lekal b'mav of tzorch liafro, that would not be sufficient to coin to a beauty. He's going to discuss why not. What's wrong with that form of tikkun? That would not be sufficient. And the machlokes between Rabbi Apo and Rabbi Yechon is not machlokes hatanoim. They're arguing within Reb Shimon on the assumption that we're accepting Reb Shimon's opinion. Within Reb Shimon, and the kalkal is chayv chayv b'mav. What does that mean? So Rabbi Apo says even the kalkal gomer is chayv. And Rabbi Yechonon says, no, you have to tone down Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon only said it if it's a miktsas misakin. If it's mikalkal gomer, even Rabbi Shimon will agree that you wouldn't be chayv b'chayv l'mav. So this is the shaila. Why is chayv b'tzach l'kal b'mav b'tzach l'yafra? Tosfos says, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yudah for sure your father. That's not a legitimate form of misakin. Why is it a legitimate form of misakin? So Tosfos gives you a few suggestions. So one suggestion they give is, I mean, the Tam Meforish. That according to Rabbi Yudah, Hadachoshel Rabbi Yudah, Mekalkal Tzoch Le'afro, Tzoch Le'kalbo, so they got Tikkun Bo Biyosu Shol Achamikan. If the Tikkun would be simultaneous with the Melochet, that would be Misakin. But if the Tikkun only comes later, so that's, according to Rabbi Yudah, that's not called Misakin. And that's the Machlokes Rabbi Yechonon and Rabbi Abbahu. Would Rabbi Shimon require that Miktas Tikkun, or that's of no value whatsoever? You gain nothing by that. According to Rabbi Yudah, for sure you don't gain, because the Tikkun is not taken from Miyan. The only time it's called Misakin is if it's Miyan. It's not Chiddush. Chiddush, the Tesis gets into trouble with that problematic. So the first pshat that Tesis suggested was, what's weak over here? What's wrong with the chayv b'tzorch l'kal b'mav b'tzorch l'afro? So Tosfos says the first pshat, ein zeh tikkun choshuv, is not a normal form of tikkun, because normal people would never do that. Well, you got to burn down a whole house because you need a little. Someone's getting married, so you want to put ashes on the chosin's house. So we'll burn down a library with all these millions of dollars worth of books. We better have some ashes to put on the chosin's head. You burn a matchbox, you burn a piece of paper, you burn an invitation to the wedding. You don't burn a whole library, that's ridiculous. So that's what Tosfos says. Mava v'tzorach le'afroi, and chayva v'tzorach le'kalboi. Tzorach le'kalboi, so you butcher somebody up so your dog should lick the blood. Go to the store, buy some dog food for the dog. Buy some Kool-Aid if he's thirsty, buy a drink. And you don't butcher somebody up to have him bleed. So Tosfos says because it's abnormal. Tosfos says that it's abnormal. Then they say, you have to say the what because it's abnormal. Why don't you say simply, the food for the dog you can buy in the store for a dollar. And you butcher the guy up, it's going to cost him $300 to restore his health. So the kilkul is greater than the tikkun. So he says no. So kula yasra al tikkunoi, that's only a concept in Nene. By Avodah Zarah is also banor, they call chulun davches. Sakin shall Avodah Zarah is also banor, if it's a tashmishi Avodah Zarah. Or if they worship the sakin is the Avodah Zarah, whatever. So if you have a sakin that's also banor, mitam Avodah Zarah, if you're going to use that sakin to shech the behema brio, this was a horse that I used in the horse races. If I sell a horse as it's alive, I'll get $1 million, I'll get $50 million. The guy goes and he shechts, he kills the horse on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, just lost $50 million. But the Gemara says, but it's Misakein, Eifel B'nei Noach, because you removed the Issa Eifel and Achai. Fine, so you're going to sell the horse meat. How many goyim are interested in buying horse meat? And how much are you going to make? $100 on the whole horse you're going to make. But you killed a horse that's worth $50 million. So the Gemara says, using a sakin shel avodah zarah to do that shtick is not a violation of Yisuri HaNoah. By Yisuri HaNoah you have to calculate the benefit with the loss. So if the rebach is greater than the hefsid, then it's called nana. If the hefsedo, yes, kilkula, yes, al tikunoi, then it's not called nana. As far as Hilchas Shabbos is concerned, Taisa says, not so. That Gemara says, when you shoot the horse, even though the horse is worth $50 million while it's alive, it's for racing horses. It's for the races. You make a lot of money on it. And when it's dead, you make hardly any money. Still, in Hilchas Shabbos, even though the kilkul, yes, al tikun, you would be chayiv. But what we're saying over here is not because Kilkuli Yasarat Kikuna. No, Hilchas Shabbos, we don't care about that. Here the word is that this is abnormal. This is not normal. If it's not normal, so that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not called Misakin at all. And that's the Machloikas. Rabbi Bo says, since it's ridiculous, so even Kilkul Gomer is Chayv. Rabbi Yechon insists, no, if you're Rabbi Shimon, you have to have a Mikzus Tikun. If you don't even have a Mikzus Tikun, even Rabbi Shimon would say that you could. Where's the Mikzus Tikun by the Baskoyan, by the Mrs. Bezel with the Mila? So Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Dvar Mitzvah is a Tikun Gomer. Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Shimon holds that since it's done with Dvar Mitzvah, it's called the Mikzus Tikun. Rashi learned not so. Rashi learned according to Rabbi Shimon, it's zero. There's no Tikun at all. Even though you do the Dvar Mitzvah, there's no Tikun at all. The Taisa says that in... Taisa says, but Rabbi Shimon, that's the machlokes Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon holds that the Dvar Mitzvah is considered a mixus tikkun. Rabbi Shimon is more than a mixus to Rabbi Yehuda. The Dvar Mitzvah is considered a mixus tikkun. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon can only derive from Sreifas Bas Koyin and Mila that if a mixus tikkun is sufficient, you don't have to have a tikkun gum. Okay. Maybe we'll stop here. Tomorrow I won't be able to give a shiur, and I think Sunday also I probably will not be here. But we'll be there Monday morning, we'll continue Chazor. How long do we have Chazor? Monday to Wednesday, then the finals on Thursday? I think so. Okay.